Book the date. On March 28th and 29th, celebrate the UBC Bookstore's new space. Join the new release party. On March 28th, enjoy breakfast with free coffee followed by UBC Bhangra, Poetry Slam, the Thunderbird Dance Team, Missy D and Lady Jams, and UBC Acapella. On March 29th, enjoy music, giant games, face painting, balloon twisting, and kids authors. There will be free food throughout both days, prizes, giveaways, and discounts. Take part in MEC's spin class, backpacking talk, and run clinics for free. The first 50 guests receive a $20 gift card on March 28th, and the first 20 customers receive a $10 gift card on March 29th. For more information, go to bookstore.ubc.ca, and don't forget to book the date.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners listening to this podcast long after it is over. Either way, we are very, very glad to have you. And I hope you're enjoying this beautiful, crisp air and thinking about how you might want to change your life since spring is around the corner. We're getting very, very close to the shift. So if you're looking at doing some different things in terms of exploring your sense of sexuality, perhaps clearing and looking at the ways that we are toxic. So everything from cleaning out your closet to taking a look at your makeup and what you're putting on your face, what you're putting in your body, and both on a sexual as well as emotional, and all the things that we do for good. So I really encourage you to take a look, take stock, and see what you can do. And tonight's guest is a returning guest who is a very dear friend as well, which I'm very glad she's on the show tonight. She is an entrepreneur. She's also a spokesperson in regards to violence against women, where she is a very amazing heroine for women, where she is not afraid to stand up. She's also incredibly innovative as well in terms of as an entrepreneur. She's had several businesses, and this one is one that has beautiful natural and organic makeup, local company. You may have heard of them before because they've been on. And what makes them super duper cool is they not only donate a dollar from every product sold to support YWCA's shelter program for women and children who are leaving abusive relationships. As well as that, they also work with other organizations such as Beauty Night Society and hiring some of the women who have had to access the shelter programs who may need employment. So it's a pretty exciting thing, very wonderful. And of course, to top all that off, it's good for your face as well, which is kind of cool. So if you haven't figured out who I'm talking about yet, I'm going to introduce you to the amazing, the lovely Brandi Lysow. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Caroline.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course.
So for those listeners who are not familiar, why is it so important in regards to being able to give back as a business?
Well, I think that everybody has to have a purpose of why they're doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And if I just woke up every morning to work, it really wouldn't be very motivating. So I find that it's really important to give back as a business to motivate myself, and also because I wouldn't have gotten to where I am in life without organizations, particularly women's organizations that are helping women get past domestic violence. I wouldn't be where I am in my life without some of the help that I've received from those organizations. So I think it's just my responsibility as a human and as a citizen to give back. And being in a position to be able to do so, you just have to.
I think that's really cool. And I wanted to ask in regards to that, because that's in terms of being able to give back. I think that's huge, because I believe it's one out of three women, one out of six men who've experienced sexual violence, and I don't even have the stats for physical violence, but there's, I know it's pretty big all around the world. Mm-hmm. And so the fact of being able to survive and being able to move forward and help pave the pathway for other people who are trying to change their situation as well is huge.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely, and I don't know what the statistics are on this either, but it's a cycle that people fall into often in life, and being able to get yourself out of that cycle and bring other people into a more positive cycle after leaving an abusive situation or having gone through that as a child or whatever the situation may be, it's a difficult thing to get out of that mind frame.
Mm.
But when you're able to do it and then possibly teach other people that what has happened to you in your past doesn't need to make the path for your future, I think is a pretty powerful thing too. And if people start talking about it more and helping each other along the way, not only when you're able to help, but I think that the people who are able to help and the people who they're helping don't realize quite as much how much they're helping each other. It's certainly not one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What are some of the misconceptions you've heard since when people, you tell them about the fact that you've had some support in terms of for your life, but as well as that, just the work that you do with the different women's organizations that you support. What are some of the misconceptions you hear from, like in regards to supporting women who are leaving abusive situations and having to use shelters?
So often I find that a misconception is that it happens only to lower class individuals, and that's such a huge misconception. Mm-hmm. I find really the only that domestic violence or violence just in general has no boundaries or barriers or anything. The only difference is sometimes there's just a door to close behind.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's not a door to close behind, and sometimes that door is just extra fancy, but nonetheless, it's still happening. And that I find a lot of the times, too, another misconception what leads to that misconception is that people often of a different class don't speak of it because that perception's there. And so that's one that's often, people are really surprised to hear that I've lived in a shelter because I am kind of out of that cycle to some degree, and people just expect that if you've been in that situation that you'll continue in that cycle, which is a very big misconception.
And because of those misconceptions, it must be difficult sometimes to move forward, especially for people who are in it sometimes, depending on the situation. What are some things that as a society we can shift so that
Absolutely.
Perhaps we can start breaking some of those cycles besides having conversations like we are tonight and just saying it's not just low-income women that are dealing with violence, both physical, sexual, emotional, but it can happen to anybody?
Mm-hmm. That's actually a really good question. I think that, you got it right on the nose there, that I think starting to have conversations about it is a really important thing. And I think also, particularly I look towards violence against women because that's where I'm more able to relate and really give my two cents involved because I'm a woman who's experienced it. But that I think having these conversations in a positive light in which allows people to unify together without bringing up the anger of the situation, but instead making a positive uniting force amongst women, as opposed to, you know, getting women together and getting really angsty and speaking of all the hurtful and hardship going through these situations, instead speaking about how we can empower each other. And that's also why I chose to use makeup as a tool to be able to do that, because beauty and makeup can certainly be a very powerful thing. So, yeah, I think doing things more positively instead of more in an angry light is definitely a way that the community can start to knock down some of these misconceptions and bring people together.
Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of makeup, I think that's huge, where I think just makeup in itself, sometimes people have a misconception about that too, especially with the raw talks going on, just everybody trying to keep naked faces, which I give kudos for that because people should be comfortable with or without makeup. But my personal opinion is that makeup should enhance what's already there. And when you're using natural products to do it, that makes people feel good. I don't see it as a bad thing. So I think it's a great thing.
I think really a woman or even a person in any light, whatever makes them feel good and that they makes them feel good for the right reasons is an important thing. And I don't think there should be any judgment passed on that, whether it's your choice of style or whether you choose to have breast implants or plastic surgery, anything like that. It's your choice and it's your body. And if it makes you feel good, there shouldn't be any judgment passed on it. So if you're wearing a full face of makeup and you feel beautiful, fantastic. If you wear no makeup and you feel beautiful, fantastic. I don't think that there should be really any boundaries because it's doing the exact opposite of what we want to do, which is empower each other. Instead, we're passing judgment on each other, and that's a little bit counterintuitive.
That it is, and sometimes I wonder about it because I think within sometimes this community in regards to trying to end violence against women, sometimes there's really mixed messages. There's a lot of debates, everything from with survival sex, what should be done, especially since the Bedford case. But even just in general, like you're mentioning, just that conception, that misconception that it just happens to low-income people.
Yeah.
And disrespect. And even with makeup, because I know with the work that which I've got to meet you as a volunteer, which is super cool, through the work I do with Beauty Night Society, and we use the makeup as a way to reintroduce touch to women who've experienced violence. And they've done a lot of studies as well. When people see aesthetic changes in themselves, they start to believe other types of change are possible, which I think sometimes helps people take that next step when they feel comfortable. And like you said, it kind of goes back to, I'm going to really badly paraphrase Eve Ensler, who wrote The Vagina Monologues and some amazing other works as well. But she's got a piece in there called My Short Skirt, where she should be allowed to wear it regardless. And I think that's important. I think sometimes there's a big mix with that, where sometimes people, we still judge. It's not a good thing because of what somebody's wearing, where we need to basically dampen our light so then that way we don't get attacked, etc. And sometimes we, as a society, can be really quite cruel to women who do choose to wear makeup, do choose to have plastic surgery, choose to wear short skirts or heels.
Absolutely. And I find even more often than not, it's women who are really judging the other women, which doesn't make it's so counterintuitive to me, because these women need to unite in order to make these changes, and it really doesn't make sense to be dividing amongst each other because of, and who knows what some of these judgments come from, whether it's insecurities amongst ourselves or whether you're actually have such a strong opinion about what somebody else chooses for their life that you're willing to almost bully them to some respect. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If you feel beautiful, just own it, you know, in any way that it should. And everyone around you, if they're the right kind of people to have around you, they'll support it.
And I think that's a big piece too. Sometimes I really do understand that piece for Alcoholics Anonymous in regards to encouraging their partners and their family members and friends to go to LNOD, just in terms of helping break the patterns, because I think those who are around us, who we hold closest, sometimes really encourage us with certain, you know, and not necessarily always for the bad, but it's just because they don't know any better. So, I think that's key.
Yeah.
To be able to shift with somebody and being able to support them. So if somebody is going through changes, especially who is, say, for example, you suspect a friend who's going through a violent relationship or a family member, being able to address that, creating safe spaces, etc. is key. And there's some great resources both on campus through the Sexual Assault Center here, as well Battered Women Support Service has, Support Services has some great resources as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's lots of really wonderful ones too. Even though I know there never seems to be enough and enough dollars put towards it in terms of funding, it's something very important in terms of ending that cycle.
Yeah, and even going back to in terms of funding and you mentioning that there never seems to be enough is that I recently read a statistic on YWCA Canada's page that stated that the government spends $3 a day on domestic violence or in terms of the resources that they give towards that. And what it actually costs is $387 a day.
Wow.
And which is huge, and it's just there's not enough resources for it, and it's such a growing situation. It, last year, or in 2012, there was 95,000 women in Canadian shelters. Last year, there was 100,000 women in Canadian shelters. So it's definitely not a lowering statistic, but I think with the power of uniting and not judging each other, that we can grow to empower each other and maybe lower that statistic. And if people are smart also in the way that they're doing business, such as the way that we are doing business with Evelyn Iona Cosmetics, that we can make a change not only by donating money from our revenues, but we can also make a change by creating an army of women together to lower that statistic.
Hmm. Tell me more about this army of women. I like the sound of that.
So actually, a little story behind that is that I was going through a situation of my own. I had to seek out help from a shelter, and I realized that in the situation that I was in, that I, although feeling very alone, that a lot of women are going through this, and that I'm not alone, and that there are systems for this. So it was kind of the driving force behind creating this cosmetic line, because I knew that I had to create a pretty big army behind me to fight the fight that I needed to get where I wanted to get in life after going through what I had gone through. So I joined forces with YWCA Canada, and also on our Facebook page, Evelyn Iona Cosmetics Facebook page, we are always posting about statistics or posting about empowerment with women and just positive influence towards those things. And we get hundreds of new likes a week. And so really those people are part of the army of women who are enforcing that positive change. And on top of that, they're also purchasing cosmetics, which they purchase anyways, and spend $170 billion a year on that industry. And just a fraction of that industry can go towards funding some of these needs in women's communities today. And that's all part of the army just enforcing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I think that's huge. What if you could wave a magic wand and change a few things? What would you like to change?
I think the thing that I would like to change the most is how critical women are of each other. And I think that if that changed, it would change a lot in our society and really empower us in a lot of different lights. In today's world, that would be my wand wish.
No, I think that's key.
What would your wand wish be?
What would my wand wish be? My wand wish, if I could wave a magic wand and shift things, I wish that everybody within their lifetime would discover what they're meant to be here for.
That's a good wish.
And to be able to own that and let themselves shine. Because I think some of us do need to go through hardships, etc. Like I know there's been a couple presidents in the States as well as prime ministers in Canada who've gone through some harder times. I even heard a rumor that Pierre Trudeau, I don't know if this is true or not, I'll have to look this up on Wikipedia, but apparently he was living at home at the age of 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then ended up, you know, eventually become considering great. But it took a while where, and you know, in other accounts that would be considered not so cool.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes it takes people a while to grow into who they're meant to be.
Absolutely. And I think that people who are willing to go through, or I don't want to say willing because it's not like you choose, I want to go through this hardship, but people who really stay true to themselves through those hardships and their values and their morals really, in the end, get rewarded, whether you call it karma or whether you call it just hard work or whether you call it destiny, I don't know. But really, at the end of the day, some of the people who have gone through the hardest things, even look at Oprah Winfrey, for example. She certainly didn't have things easy, and many other people that we could use as examples to turn out to be pretty darn great because of the lessons in which they've learned through some of the hardest things that people can go through.
It's so true. And I think that's the biggest piece is in regards to when bad things happen. And it's interesting you mention Oprah because the other day on Facebook, a friend of mine shared Deepak Chopra's he's doing another 30 days of meditation. And if you and when I clicked on the link, Oprah did the opening for it, which I thought was super cool. But what it was about was to recognize the gifts that happen when a not so pleasant experience happens, because if after grieving, which I think it's important to give space and hold space for grieving and letting it wash through as opposed to avoiding feeling. But after that, seeing where the gift is, as you said, looking positive, where are the positive pieces as opposed to stewing in that swamp? And so
That's
it was interesting. So hopefully, because I know on a global level, now that would be interesting to have Deepak Chopra on the show. Oprah would be okay too. But just in regards to that, so if anybody out there is listening and wondering when they hit those dark days, how to kind of find that in terms of the positivity, there are some resources out there. And yeah, it's free on YouTube, which is super cool.
Yeah, YouTube is a godsend.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and I find, too, with the positive thinking and the positive enforcing, it definitely, again, it's you don't wish anyone going through the hardship in which some people have to go through in life, but at the end of the day, when you've gone through that hardship, nothing ever really seems that bad anymore. So everything has a positive twist to it from that moment on, because you've been forced to kind of reformat your brain into finding the positive in things. And then when you go through those things that nobody should ever have to go through, and you're still able to find the positive in that, well, now you're set for life. Life is going to be positive.
So, so, so true. And I'm going to add a cautionary note with that as well, where sometimes I think it's being positive, but also being able to say when enough is enough, which I think is part of it. Because I think sometimes the danger, and I know I've been guilty of this before, I think you have too, since we're friends, I think I can say that, where sometimes with that positive piece, where instead of just saying no and reexamining where that boundary is, and we always do, it just sometimes takes longer than in hindsight, where we're like, oh, I should have looked at that earlier, or should have, would have, could have, and made a nice clean no. And that's okay to do that and make a major shift. Where otherwise, as a friend of mine, Ann Whitmore, who's a life coach, describes, otherwise it's like piling more and more and more stuff. And just because you can do something doesn't mean you have to.
Yes. That's actually boundaries is, that's a struggle for me. But boundaries are definitely an important thing combined with that positive attitude and with the willing to be able to create change. I think that's really what amounts to a successful journey to figure out what your purpose is in life.
I think that's huge. Purpose in life. And sometimes I think a lot of us spend a lot of time seeking that.
Yeah.
What do you think is the purpose in life?
I think that everybody has their own purpose, and that purpose can be constantly rotating and changing. I think that, for example, like for myself, I think that my purpose right now is what I'm doing in trying to create change in society for violence against women, and doing it in a positive way. that reinforces some fun into my life, and enforces beauty and fashion, which are two passions of mine. So I feel like that's my purpose right now. But maybe a month or a year or 2 years from now, purpose might be look similar, but be on a different path, or who knows. But just constantly being at peace with what you're doing, and just being full force into knowing that what you're doing is the right thing at this time. I think that maybe that's purpose, but I don't totally have the answer to that.
I think it's still a journey for all of us. It's and I mean, the cool thing with having all the TED Talks right now, we can have lots of stuff to tune into and see just some of the perspectives on a global level as well.
Oh yeah, and TED Talks are so fantastic. I actually watched the two TED Talks quite some time ago now, but they were so impactful to me that I actually looked up the people who I watched the talk. One of them was Jackson Katz, and the other one was Leslie. I can't remember her last name. Both on topics that I was really passionate about, both on violence against women. But I actually looked them up and found Leslie's agent and sent her an email about how much the speech impacted me, and then also found Jackson Katz, and we became friends on Facebook and started talking with each other about points of views and opinions and such. And those TED Talks can be so impactful. And you have one too, Caroline, that is so impactful.
It's a TEDx, but still, thank you.
it's a pretty great accomplishment.
Thank you. So what's next for you? I know you just had an amazing weekend in regards to Evelyn Ione, and I apologize for not being able to get down there, where you had a pop-up store. And it sounds like you've got more stuff from our conversation we had last week as well, coming up as well, which is exciting. Did you want to share some with our listeners?
Sure. Yeah, we have lots of fun things coming up. We have, well, this weekend we're doing the Portobello West trade show with local designers and artisans, and that is on Saturday and Sunday at the Olympic Village Gymnasium, and so we're doing that for the first time. I think it should be fun. And then the following weekend we have an event in one of the stores in West Vancouver that carries our line called Sala Salon, and all of the information can be found on our Facebook page, too, so you can follow us and come visit us at any event. And, and then next week, too, I head off to Toronto, and we set up our Toronto division. So, we're growing fast, and things are going good.
That is really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
Really, really cool. In regards to a new city, because I know you're in Vancouver right now, we're going to miss you dreadfully when you go to Toronto.
Yeah.
Are there any global initiatives that, because I know you've got a few that you're, because it's not just the YWCA and Beauty Night you support, there's other organizations you do too. And if I remember correctly, there's even one that is in Africa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we are full supporters of the Murata movement in Africa, and they're fantastic. We're actually working on some projects to be able to collaborate with them more so, because we really believe in what they're doing. They are, it's called the Murata movement, and I believe their website is muratamovement.com. And they do youth empowerment in Africa. So they are, I believe they're based out of the Congo, and it's a friend of mine, Christine, who was one of the founders of the organization, and they're in Africa right now, actually. They spend, I believe it's like 8 months out of the year in Africa doing programs with the youth to empower them. So they're similar to entrepreneurship programs, where they really, instead of necessarily teaching them particular skills, they find out what their passions are and what their skills are, and just help them come to light and bring it to a global market so that they can create new opportunities for their villages. And it's really amazing to see what some of these youth are capable of, and the way that they're changing the way that people look at their opportunities in those villages are very, very impacted by these young entrepreneurs. It's really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
What makes, what criteria, if there's anybody listening who's involved with a charity, because I know you support a lot, how many organizations do you support incomplete because you've got YWCA Canada, you've got Beauty Night. I'm not sure if I can say that properly, the one that you're just talking about, the Murata
movement.
Murata, thank you. but I believe you've got a couple other ones as well. Did you want to just plug those organizations too and the work they do?
Yeah, so we also are, our heart completely goes out to the Mabel Battaglia Memorial Fund too at Simon Fraser University. So we have been supporting that organization now for the past 2 years. And the Mabel Battaglia Memorial Fund is a fund that was made in memory of Mabel Battaglia, who was a close friend of mine. Previously, actually, my first business was in talent and model management, and she was one of our amazing actresses who had a great career ahead of her, and she was also looking to get into med school, currently going to Simon Fraser University when she lost her life to domestic violence. And she was 19 years old at the time, and her family put together a bursary fund in conjunction with Simon Fraser University, and last year was the first year that we gave away the first bursary. And her name was Emily, who won it. Fantastic girl who's looking to get into med school too. So they built that fund to over $80,000, and now they have actually started a new fund. So we are now supporting the new fund, which I just spoke to Rosie, my sister, about today. And it is a fund now to support the other passions of Mabel's life, which were the arts. So we're now creating a bursary, and I believe today Rosie stated that the goal was to bring it to $5,000, and give that to a young woman who is pursuing a life in the arts and entertainment.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah. And, so those are kind of our main organizations, is YWCA Canada, and then, of course, Beauty Night. We love Beauty Night and the Murata Movement. Those are our day-to-day interactions, but we do often do work with other organizations like Help Portrait. Both my business partner, Melanie, and I, that's actually where we met, was at Help Portrait 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Yeah.
And for those listeners who aren't sure what that is, usually it's in the downtown east side where they do hair and makeup, and they do a picture, and it's once a year and printed out for the for the participants. And it's usually an 8x10, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and then they also bring Help Portrait to other places too that may need some cheer in their life. The most recent one that we did was with Mink Makeup and Hair, and my business partner Melanie and I went out to go help as well, and it was at the BC Children's Hospital.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they had their family come in, so we did hair and makeup on the children, the young girls, as well as their mothers, and then the whole family come in for a family portrait.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I can see how that would be really valued. Another friend of mine does a project called the Lipstick Project, where they do a lot of work at Canuck Place and hospices for children, the Ronald McDonald House as well. So I can see how that would be of huge value. And even with Beauty Night, we see so many people who are dealing with just where a picture and getting to get glammed up is amazing. And we see it every, I guess, Valentine's Day. Not so I am pretty, but definitely unusual and sort of weird and crazy for Halloween. And, where we do the crazy makeup for that, which they love that. I sometimes think they like that even more, getting to dress up even weirder. So to be really honest, so especially certain participants that we know quite near and dear.
Yes. Some of them really pull off the Halloween makeup extraordinarily well.
Yes, they do. we've even had some of them creating their own bones for their hair. We actually had one year who showed up with part of their hair dyed. It needed to be fixed afterwards at future beauty nights. But
oh my gosh.
it was definitely Halloween.
Oh, that's fun. That just goes to show another way too that makeup can be such a fun thing, and it doesn't need to be as judgmental as some organizations, some individuals make it today. Mm-hmm. It can be so fun in like face painting, Halloween time, and Valentine's Day or just making you feel glammed and sexy. There's so many things that you can do with it.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And I think that's huge, too, because I've noticed it even with the work in the Downtown East Side as well that we do through Beauty Night. But just I think sometimes people focus on the basics, which the basics are huge, like things like food, shelter. When someone is going through violence, a safe space, making sure that they are protected from the abuser, resources in terms of for counseling, et cetera, and their space to grieve. But sometimes I think the pleasure piece is the part that sometimes is missing or is considered not as important as the other. Whereas I think it's kind of like that whole, the pillar approach where it is a huge piece because part of self-actualization is to feel loved and respected. And part of that is by having fun because laughter is one of the most beautiful medicines.
Absolutely.
Gosh, I sound like Patch Adams, don't I? So.
I love Patch Adams. And having the ability to respect your body in the way that you hope to, and sometimes you don't get the opportunity to, like putting on makeup or getting your hair cut or colored or, putting on a new outfit. Some of those things are just ways to rejoice and really celebrate how much you respect yourself and your body in just a physical way in order to do that. And it's super important. I know that on some of the worst days that I've had, the first thing that I do in the morning is, or even sometimes, even when I'm just having down days, to wake up and be like, okay, I got to go put my makeup on. After you put your makeup on or even just some mascara or lip gloss, I feel better about myself, and it's not really about how other people view me. It's just that I did this little treat for myself, and I deserved it, or something like that. That helps you just give a good pick-me-up and get you set on the right path for the day.
That's so true. It makes such a huge difference.
It really does.
Mm-hmm. And I think the key is balancing it out with all the other pieces, like making sure there's the other self-care too, so it doesn't become a mask. And I think that's what sometimes the people who are quite disrespectful in regards to it, I think that's the piece that's missing, is realizing that you need all of it. You need the pleasure. You need that connection with community. You need the physical touch where it's a safe space. You need to feel good about yourself, because if you feel good about yourself, you start believing that change is possible and have hope. And so having the access of being access for shelter, safe space, as well as resources to make major, massive life changes. I think sometimes it starts with feeling good, and it's really hard to feel good when everything else is in shambles, and especially in a violent relationship.
Exactly. I think you got it right on the nose there.
Thank you. And in regards to violence against women, some listeners may be listening and not understand that cycle that happens. And as Brandy mentioned earlier in the interview, it really is a cycle, and it's huge. And it can start off so simple. And people, because of the fact sometimes we keep, in terms of trying to have a positive outlook, which isn't a bad thing. It's just a matter of really checking in with our boundaries, et cetera, because sometimes they do tend to break that down and isolate people. Mm-hmm. And after a while, it's really difficult to get out, and especially when you love someone.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and I think probably the most number one asked question is, why don't you just leave?
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned a lot of it in there, is that it's you kind of don't even know it's happening until you're so far in, and you're also so in love, and you're also so blinded, and it's really not that easy just to leave. There's also that danger factor also once you are in the situation, because actually every 6 days a woman is killed in Canada by her partner.
Wow.
And most of the time, 70% of the time, that's after she's already left. And after she's already left, people say, why doesn't she just leave? Well, statistically, after you leave, things get a lot worse. So unless you have that seed inside yourself, and you have that empowerment in yourself, and you're at a place where now you're strong enough to leave because you know that you're going to endure a lot more after that, after you've left. So it goes back again to feeling good about yourself and sometimes, you know, hair and makeup or introduction to healthy touch or anything like that can be a big part of that. And often you need that before you have the strength to actually go through the steps that you need to leave because it gets a lot worse before it gets better.
So true. What was that stat you shared? Every 6 days, a woman dies?
Yeah, every 6 days in Canada, a woman is murdered by her partner.
Wow. I'm sharing these on Twitter, so in case you can hear the typing. Wow. What do you think that, resource-wise, because obviously being able to provide that pleasure, and I guess that's the piece, what do we need to shift in regards to people recognizing it's not a frivolous thing for people to feel joy, feel connection to community, and feel good about themselves and actually engaging in self-care? What are some of the things do you think we need to shift, and especially when it's connected with violence against women?
That's a really good question. I don't know. It's maybe if... it's not for everybody, but maybe if more people were in a position where they volunteered and kind of saw how much impact this actually has, that it's not just an extra luxury thing in life, that this is actually a human necessity, is to feel this kind of positive reinforcement in your life, whether it's something that's brought on by healthy touch or whether it's brought on by makeup or feeling glamorous or whatever it's brought on upon, that it's really not a luxury, that it's a necessity as being a human. And if people were exposed more often in an open mind to see people who actually don't even have that necessity of feeling that, that maybe they would understand more. And maybe, because I think that a lot of the people who make these sorts of comments of it being a luxury situation have probably been most commonly the people who have never had to be without it.
I think that that is very true. I also want to add to that as well that I think perhaps some of the research needs to be shared, and perhaps by organizations like Beauty Night, like cosmetic companies that are for good, like Evelyn Iona, where there is huge power in terms of when people see each other, see what they look like. It's one of the reasons in therapy they have people look at themselves in the mirror so much, because it's so important. The other piece that I want to mention in regards to that is with mental health, when people start dealing with depression, usually one of the first things that goes is in terms of that self-care piece, where people start washing, they stop all that stuff. And so it's important to recognize that. And if we see that in people, encouraging them to care for themselves, because sometimes just having a shower, it's washing your aura, essentially. I know that sounds very new age, but it's...
No, I agree tenfold. Sometimes you just got to, you know, just get off the stale cheese. Sometimes you just got to do, you know, when you pet, it's like you're rubbing dirt off of yourself. I do that actually often. And sometimes, yeah, you just take a long shower and you gotta clean off some of that awful feeling.
Yeah, it really just washes it away. It's funny because I actually can think of when my mother was still alive. If I was in a bad mood, she'd send me out to the backyard to run around the backyard 20 times and then would, maybe that's why I don't like running. I associate with punishment. And then if I was still mad after that, she'd go and tell me to take a cold shower, because by the cold water, it would actually literally wash whatever that heat that was kicking in because of the liver chi.
You had a very smart mother.
Yes, I did, actually. I didn't see it back then. In regards to moving forward, and for someone who may have a friend who is dealing with someone who they either know is in a violent relationship, because I think many of us do know. I know I've known for a long time for certain people, and I think that's one of the most common questions I get for new incoming volunteers, where it's like, oh, you know, they're going to talk about it. Well, I'm going to try and fix it.
Yeah.
What are some key things perhaps to recommend, like in terms of being able to support a friend where you know that they're going through a really hard time?
I think one of the most important things is holding space for them,
mm-hmm.
And not forcing them into any particular decision, and knowing that, and also not to pass judgment on what their choices are.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most amazing people in my life have watched me make some pretty poor decisions, and they just watched me with love and were there for me when I fell, or when, you know, but yet they still let you fall. And obviously not to a point in which hopefully it doesn't result in a place where it becomes physically, you know, to that extent, then someone needs to certainly step in. And sometimes it is at that extent and there is nobody to step in, or, you know, people don't know enough to step in. But I think also not ignoring situations and just being somebody to talk can really empower somebody, because ultimately it's that person that's in the relationship. It's their choice, and it's only them that can leave the situation. And just being there to be positive reinforcement to make good choices, I think, is really important.
That makes very, very, very a lot of sense. And I'm going to echo that, because I think that's huge. Because even though sometimes it hurts us, because it's our friend who's going through it, being able to love them anyway and explaining that, even though sometimes it may feel like enabling, but being able to honor their choice, but as well as that, also having the resources. So if they do ask for that, you have it. And there's some great ones, as mentioned, through the Sexual Assault Center on campus, as well as through Better Women's Support Services as well. So there are some really wonderful resources if friends need it.
Yeah, and actually I think that you and I have spoken on the show before about some of the resources too, with YWCA Canada actually came out with a safety siren.
I was going to ask you about that, share that again.
And it's a free app to download on your phone, and even if you don't have the ability to download that on your phone, also just having like a safety word with a friend, or, you know, some of those things that you can talk without talking, because when you're in that situation and, you know, maybe there's been some manipulation take place, or maybe you're just kind of shut down as a human because of everything that's happening around you, then to have a secret word, it's a lot easier to say cat than it is to say help. And I think that having somebody that you can trust enough to respect your choices and also to go to without judgment and establish that secret word with them, I think, is a very important thing too.
Yeah, I agree. Do you know what that app is called?
Yeah, it's called the YWCA Canada Safety Siren app.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's you download it for free and you set it up, and I think that even not just in bad relationships, but you and I spoke about this before, even when you get back into the dating scene, or for example too, if you're a model and you're traveling from castings, or an actor traveling from castings, or just any situation where you might be alone and might be vulnerable, I think that it's a fantastic app to have on your phone.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's huge. So what is, I'm almost afraid to mention this. I was going to ask what's next for you, but I'm just looking at our Twitter feed right now, and I did share our stat in regards to every 6 days a woman in Canada is killed.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who's not so cool, whose name is Sick Love, actually said, bitch should have listened. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's, if I could wave a second magic wand or have a genie come out and have a second wish, it would be that people are not so ignorant. They really, you know, don't, you know, to make a comment like that is so infuriating, because I don't know if McLove has a daughter or a sister or anybody else, but with the statistic of 100,000 women in a shelter in Canada each year, that person probably has a loved one who has gone through that. Mm-hmm. So they just made that comment, that derogatory comment, towards somebody that they love. And that's really, really arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
That's so infuriating to me. That's one thing that I haven't figured out how to get past yet, is some of those kinds of comments. But
I was very surprised, where I'm glad in some ways that it did get mentioned, not that it should have, but because it brought up the fact that people still think that way.
Yeah.
Which surprised me.
I'm shocked, actually, often about, you know, I feel as if our company does a lot of good work for, you know, looking to have change towards these statistics, and also some of the organizations that we are partnered with, like the Maple Battalion Memorial Fund, things like that. And some of the comments that we see or get forwarded and such, we're just like, really? Like, these people have clearly never gone through it. And
mm-hmm.
you can't expect somebody who hasn't gone through it to understand it, but you can expect to have some respect towards it. And all I can say is I hope that people with those thoughts never have to go through it to understand it in quite the same kind of way.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And that was a very valid point you brought up as well, that Sick Love, who's on Twitter, who wrote that lovely comment, and I say lovely sarcastically, that yes, I imagine that person has a mom, daughter, maybe possibly daughter, friends that are female, etc. And considering 1 out of 3 women, 1 out of 6 men have experienced sexual violence before the age of 18, and that's not even going into the domestic stats. Yeah, as you said, it's perhaps that's happening to somebody he loves. Or she loves. I'm not sure if it's a male or female. I think it's a boy, but
yeah, I'm not really sure either. I'm actually looking at it right now, too. Ugh, too bad.
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, other than the darkness in regards to some of the shifts, and I hope some of that actually opens up to conversation, even though it's not such a great thing that I was expecting, I'm glad, because it just shows that there are people like that who mm-hmm. may not have empathy. And I guess I'm going to put it out there, if somebody is feeling that way, perhaps either they dealt with them, grew up in a home where they saw a lot of violence, possibly. Mm-hmm. And so it's have to turn out off in some way, shape, or form to survive.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and go at it with love and use it as a stepping stone, where it's just like, if there's other people out there who think that, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
I think what you're doing is really amazing. And I want to encourage, as you said, that army of women who are moving and shaping and shifting things forward. I think that's going to be the key on a global level to shifting and changing. So hopefully we have less comments like that.
Yeah, and they do say that, you know, like, women are pretty powerful to a community. If you teach a woman, it teaches a community.
Mm-hmm.
And really, so we're looking for, you know, change within society as a whole, not just for women, but just for future children and anybody else coming to populate this world. We just want to you know, make it the best possible place for people to live, and,
mm-hmm.
and we're just doing our part on that. And I think that it's pretty powerful to join people together.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I think building community is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And empowering people is a really, really big thing. And I think with the community conversations on a global level, I think education is a big piece of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, having the resources and making sure people do feel part of community. It's huge. Because when people feel isolated, I think that's when things happen.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you're part of my community, Carolyn.
Thank you, and likewise. So anything that I did not ask you tonight that you wanted to share with our listeners?
Oh, I don't think. I mean, my brain is kind of mush at this hour of night. I think we covered a lot of great things, a lot of positive things, and a lot of things that definitely need a space for to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for having me on the show. It's been great.
You are most welcome, and I'm really glad that my gut's telling me this. We've been getting a lot of stuff on Twitter, so I think we'll probably be able to continue this conversation, which will be great, online. So if anybody is listening and wants to join in that conversation on Twitter, there's Evelyn Iona, that's... I'll let you spell it out, even though I can see it right in front of me right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm being lazy.
We get that a lot. Iona is my middle name, and it gets so many different pronunciations. But it's Evelyn, E-V-Y-L-E-N, and Iona is I-O-N-A.
I love it. And at Sexy and Van City Radio, at Sexy and Van, I can't even say it. Sexy in Van City. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a great discussion. And I'm going to encourage if do what makes you feel good, create safety, try and support and people regardless what their choices are. And take a look at some of the websites as well. Evelyn Iona's done some really great work with the YWCA as well. They've got some amazing cosmetics as well that are both organic as well as natural, created by two local girls, which is pretty cool, and a Canadian company. And they donate a dollar from every product sold to support the shelter programs through YWCA Canada, as well as many, many other charities. So I'm going to encourage you, please check them out. They do some really great stuff because you can still look good and feel good. And I think, our Cancer Society will back that up as well. So you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock, and we will be continuing this discussion about violence against women and talking about teen dating next week. I am going to be having Angela Marie McDougall from Battered Women Support Service on next week's show, and we will be having an in-depth discussion about that and also celebrating her award she just got as one of the Most Remarkable Woman Awards, which is pretty cool for 2014. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio. Up next is the lovely Hans von Klaus. Oh, Hans, I am. It is late. Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. And yes, I have not done this for a couple weeks, and you can tell. Adios, everyone. Have a beautiful night. Bye-bye.
The Vancouver International Dance Festival returns for their 14th iteration this March 7th to the 29th. Witness two forms of dance designed to subvert culture collide when Butoh artist Michael Sakamoto and street dancer Rennie Harris face off. See international flamenco superstar Israel Galvan's fast and fancy footwork fly off the stage. Watch what happens when jazz piano improvisation meets ballet with Yui Kawaguchi and Aki Takase, with free shows by Vancouver fan favorite 605 Collective and Modus Operandi. You are sure to find something you love. For show information and tickets, go to vidf.ca.